This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I and my Savior am happy and blessed, watching and
Now is our time for prayer and praise. If there are any praises you'd like to share, prayer requests you'd like to make known, now is time.
Tom, we saw a man. I thought I knew him. He looked familiar, but anyways, he walked up. They called his name and said, "How are you today?" And he said, "Grateful." And I thought, what a great response, because that's how we should be every time. Like, I'm grateful. I'm here. Life is, you know, God is with me. But I told our Sunday school class. I said, I think this week maybe we should try that. When someone says, "How are you?" just say grateful. And you can even leave it at that, but just understanding that, you know, God is good and has done great things for us. And I don't know his family, because I talked to Patty this morning via text, and she's got some big decisions to make this week. Her platelets have gone back down again, and she's been there so long, it's probably very, very discouraging. So continue to pray for the Knight family and Phil, and just for decisions that she feels compelled to have to be making. So, our friend, and you all know who she is, so.
You're having surgery on Monday, right?
Yep, tomorrow morning.
All right. Well, let's pray. Lord, we are reminded from the Psalms today that we read of our need of a Savior, of our sinful nature, that none of us does good out of his own heart, Lord. And we are thankful for the redemption that we have in Jesus Christ that has been purchased. And we are thankful for standing justly before God because of faith in Christ. And we are so grateful for those things, and that we can rely on them when the things that we around us do not seem to be things we can put faith in. We think of Don Baum. We pray for his continued success with these cancer treatments, that he would be cancer-free. Most of all, we pray that he would know and have a relationship with you, Lord. Because even when the cancer is gone, if we do not know Christ, we are still in our sins. So we pray for him and his healing. We, as Glenn said, we are reminded of our fellow Americans and this damage that has come from this hurricane, and we pray for them and their needs that are so apparent and obvious right now. And we pray that you'd help us to appreciate the things that we have, all the blessings that you have shown upon us, that we would be grateful to you for the goodness that you show us on a daily basis. We pray for Tom and the surgery that he has tomorrow. We pray that you give him peace. We pray that that would be successful and that you'd give those doctors wisdom as they do it. We're thankful for his example of gratefulness, and we pray that that would be an encouragement to us to do the same for those around us. We also pray for Phil and Patty Knight and decisions that need to be made there. We pray for Patty's healing, that you would intervene there and you would give them wisdom as they make choices about what to do. We thank you for this day you've given us. We thank you for this opportunity to worship together and to praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's stand and sing our worship songs together.
Boundless love, unfailing in grace and
forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted.
It's not my fault.
defense. And know what love is that won the victory, that won the victory.
Thank you, Father. Thank you for songs that remind us of all you've done for us. That we are your children, easily spoken, because Jesus Christ took the pain for us, took the burden for us, died on the cross, and shed his blood that we might be clean, and then rose again to guarantee to us life forever. Lord, help us as we think of this to remember this is the King of Glory. This is the one who came and loved us and died for us. Thank you that he's in our life every moment of the day when we come to know him. And help us to grow to know you better. And we'll praise you for it in Christ's name. Amen. Those ages 4 to 7... dismissed to junior church.
Actually, according to my secretary, I'm not preaching today. Joshua is. So all I need to do is get him to take my place and be able to read my notes. That's a lot bigger thing than you think. You start looking at my notes. I've rewritten my notes 4 times this week, and they never come out the way I have them written in the end. So even if you had my notes in front of you, I probably would not be following them. I keep getting these ones that fall apart. We need ones that don't fall apart. Okay, forgot all about this morning. I'm glad he remembered. I think I'm on. Okay, so we're going to Galatians chapter 3. Going to be preaching, starting in verse 10. And we're going to go through 18 if everything goes smoothly this morning. That is my plan, to finish at verse 18. Now, anybody remember any of the message last week? If you raise your hand, I'll pick on you, so don't raise your hand. Last week, we were reminded that those who rely on faith in the promise to Abraham are blessed along with Abraham. Now, a promise was given to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, again I don't think I have the rest of those passages up here with me. Again, in 3 times in Genesis, I think it's 18 and 20. But 3 times it's given the same promise to Abraham, reminding him that he would bless all nations through his seed. And that's going to come up here in a few minutes. But through him, Christ was to come into the world, and that would change everything. That's who everybody's looking for. That promise was given before the law. And we're going to talk about that in a few minutes. But for those who believe in the law, remember, what has been being discussed in Galatians is that there are those who are going back to the law to mix it with their salvation in Christ. And he's arguing that there's nothing except Christ that you need to believe in. But, and so there has to be an argument made as to what happens if you believe in the law. And so we learned that if you believe in the promise to Abraham, then you're blessed along with him. You rely on your faith in that promise. Now, starting in verse 10, we have an argument that kind of takes us a different direction for a minute, because it's telling you what happens if you just believe in the law. He says, For all who rely on the works of the law are under a curse. As it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law. Now, just that statement alone, I don't know how many of you have studied the law, but what we often do is just take it to the Ten Commandments. And we could ask the crowd, or one of you one at a time, have you kept the Ten Commandments all of your life? And what happens when you say that? If you really think through the Ten Commandments, have you broken any of them at any time? And if we're honest, we have to say yes, we have. We've lied, or we gave a false testimony about somebody else, or we stole something, like candy bars off the shelf at the store whenever I was a little kid. It cost me dearly, but at the time it tasted pretty good. Later I realized it didn't taste as good as I thought. It wasn't worth the penalty. And that's the whole point, is that he's saying cursed are those who do not continue to do everything written in the book of the law. If we go back to the verse I read in Psalm 14, you get that statement that the fool says in his heart there's no God. But then as he goes on, he says there is no one who does good. The Lord looks down from heaven on all mankind to see if there are any who understand, any who seek God. All have turned away, all have become corrupt. There's no one who does good, not even one. We are born with a nature to sin, and we cannot keep those commandments. We are going to fail at it. And the end result, he says, is that you're cursed. Now, the word cursed is interesting because it's even stronger than we would say it. We use the word cursed. That's about as strong as we want. But he's saying it's like you're the excrement that gets thrown away. How do you like that for a description? You're the excrement that gets thrown away. That's what he does with the curse, means you're just going to be thrown out. You have nothing redeeming of value that would take you to heaven. And so you'll get sent to hell in the lake of fire. Now, he says that's what everybody who tries to live by the law, they're all going to end up there, because clearly no one who relies on the law is justified before God. That's the statement made. Why? Because the righteous will live by faith. See, the promise originally given has more weight than trying to live the law. So faith is the way to be justified. Now, when he says that, we cannot fulfill all the law, but it teaches us, the law itself teaches us, we are sinners who have a need. Teaches us we can't keep it. How do I stand holy before God if I can't keep all of his law? How do I do that? And the first statement is, we aren't holy when we start. And no matter how many works I do, how much law I cover, how much I can do and do it right, I will never be able to pay for the sin in my life. It will cost more than I can afford. And so what happens is the law isn't enough to pay the price of sin. It cannot make you righteous. You are judged accursed and thrown into the lake of fire. You're judged accursed. The law is not based on faith. On the contrary, it says the person who does these things will live by them. So basically, what you've done is you've put your faith in something you do, and you have to live by that. And if you break it, then you blew it. And you can go back and continue to do it, but you'll never be able to do enough to pay the price of our failure or our sin. From God's perspective, we're all cursed before we come to Christ. We're cursed. We're part of the accursed. And if we continue reading that, he says, the next verse says, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. Now, before I finish that, you get done with all this. We are all cursed to be thrown out like the excrement that we talked about. None are justified by the law. We're sinners. And ultimately, what you'd say is, well, if that's all the further I go, you're lost. We're all lost. Lost. You have a world that's lost. Some of us may be lost because we haven't come to Christ. We're lost. That's where you stand at that point. There's no way to live by the law and enter into the gates of glory. So when we come to the statement on verse 13, he says, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hung on a pole. That statement, I think, is out of Deuteronomy. I have that written somewhere too. Deuteronomy 27, 26 says that same statement, and that's where he's quoting from. And Christ hung on a pole. He was crucified on a pole. The next verse says he redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit. Now, a lot's said in that verse, those couple of verses. One is to realize Christ was accursed. He was accursed. He was treated like one who should die for their sin, but he was carrying our sin. He was dying for our sin, and he suffered on a cross and shed his blood, died, and was buried for our sin. And then he rose again for your life, to give you real life so that you could be free for real. Because the law, in essence, will make you in bondage to it. And yet you can never succeed in getting into heaven through the law. So it goes on, as it talks about that, he says, he redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham. Now, just as a reminder, we'll go back to chapter 12 and I'll give you that blessing once more. He says to Abraham, go from your country, your people, and your father's house to the land I show you. I will make you into a great nation and I will bless you. I will make your name great and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Now, that idea of being blessed through him was the promise of one who would fulfill the need. He would have seed, and that single seed, which we'll talk about in a minute, will be Jesus Christ. He's the one they're waiting for. Now here he says, he redeemed us in order that that blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles, to all of us, Jews and Gentiles alike, through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Holy Spirit. When we come to Christ, we receive that promise. We have this unique relationship that we could never have if Jesus Christ had not died on the cross. The more I study this, the more I realize how short I've come to understanding how much God did for us. It's incredible that I am free to have a relationship with the Almighty God, the creator of heaven and earth, I don't understand that he has made that available to me and has brought me into that relationship. So as he goes on, Christ came as a curse for us and redeemed us. And then he begins this discussion about what that means, why he wants to give you an example. He says, brothers and sisters, let me take an example from everyday life. Just as no one can set aside or add to a human covenant that has been duly established, so it is in this case. These promises were spoken to Abraham and to his seed. Now you understand, once a covenant's made, even between people, once that promise is made and duly noted, you can't change it. It's a promise that stays. And even if later you decide you want to change it, it isn't changeable. It is a promise that's made and needs to be kept. And it continues on. Now, I got to thinking about this, and I thought, Joshua made a trip to Florida, and he brought his kids with him. But when he got his kids all together, he told them to pack. They were going somewhere. I don't know exactly how he said it. But he loaded them all in the car, and they started driving. None of them knew where they were going. He only promised them that it would be a good time. It would be a vacation. It would be an opportunity. He was going to do something unique. And he promised them that. Now, that promise he had to fulfill. So he has all these kids going. And, of course, he made sure they had to do things on the way. So they had homework to do and stuff so that they would be free when they got there. But they had no idea what was happening. And he drove them all the way to Florida. And he went to Fort Myers where he had rented a place so that they could have a vacation. It is. Swimming pool and beautiful place. He fulfilled his promise. Nothing was going to change that. He had made a promise he fulfilled. And God, when he made a promise to Abraham, had made a promise that he would fulfill. And so he goes on to say, the promises were spoken to Abraham and to his seed. Scripture does not say, and to seeds, meaning many people, but and to your seed, meaning one person, who is Christ. That was the seed they were waiting for, Jesus Christ. So he says, what I mean is this. The law introduced 430 years later does not set aside the covenant previously established by God and thus do away with his promise. The law that came later did not supersede the promise given to Abraham. And that promise ultimately affected all of you. Believe a promise that far back could affect you today. And that's what Christ did. When Christ came, he fulfilled this promise. And the law didn't change that. It didn't do away with the promise. And he says, for if the inheritance depends on the law, then it no longer depends on the promise. But God in his grace gave it to Abraham through a promise. Now, as I look at this, there's some things that struck me. One is that before we know Christ, we're cursed. Romans 3:23 plainly says that for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And you saw that back in the psalm. There is no one who does good. There are none that seeketh after God. So this is something God has to do for us. The wages of that, the wages of sin is death. Well, that death is important for you to understand that there is a second death. I'm going to find that. I probably have it written somewhere, but I don't know where I wrote it. So I'll just go there. I know where it is. It says, then I saw a great white throne and him who was seated on it. The earth and the heavens fled from his presence, and there was no place for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the books. The sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them, and each person was judged according to what they had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is the second death. Anyone whose name was not found written in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire. The ultimate end is that there is judgment, and it's going to take place. But we need to make that decision. We need to believe before we die, because then it's set in stone what's going to happen. And he reminds us of that, reminding us that the wages of sin is death. But the other half of that verse says, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. See, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. The just shall live by faith. That faith is in Jesus Christ. That's how you gain life. That's how you become free for real. That's how the Holy Spirit ends up dwelling in you. You become free indeed because of Jesus Christ. I was supposed to read part of a song, and I would have to take time to find it, which is probably not appropriate right now. So, but the song was written, and it's Trust in Jesus, and he talks about the very thing that we saw there in Revelation, that one day you'll stand before the Lord. And what are you going to rely on to be righteous before him? There will be those who will say, well, I did all these things. They're all good things. I think that's good enough. And he's going to say, depart from me, I never knew you. Works cannot get me into heaven, into the grace of God. Only faith in his Son, Jesus Christ. So in the song, it reminds you that what he tells them is, I trusted in Jesus. That's what I did. I trust in Jesus. And he didn't do anything. He believed in what Jesus Christ did. There was no work he could accomplish. Jesus Christ had to accomplish it for us. That came out of Romans 5, where he says, 8 and 9, but God demonstrated his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him, through Jesus Christ? See, I needed to be just. I needed to be righteous, to stand in the presence of God. Even to go before him in prayer, I needed to be righteous. And the only way I could accomplish that was to believe in what Jesus Christ did for me. My preaching these last 5 weeks have almost all been around in the ending in a salvation message. That you need to know Jesus Christ to have this relationship. And that begins a relationship that is eternal, that you'll live with through the rest of your life and on into eternity. And the Spirit will come and dwell in you, and the Son and the Father. And you'll have that relationship with God that can grow as we learn more and more about it and as we work at it. And that relationship can carry us through the most difficult times and give us great joy even when we're suffering. The relationship is unique. And so this morning I place that before you. Whoever believes, he sent his son into the world that whosoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. If that hasn't happened, I challenge you to read the scriptures, to see the truth, and to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. And if you need someone to talk to, we have many here who know the Lord and would be glad to talk to you about it. For us who know him, this ought to excite you. This ought to remind you and bring great joy to you and even puzzle you that he loved you so much, that he paid the price, that he drew you into his family, that he chose you as one of his children. Those are incredible things. I don't know why he brought me into the family of God, but I know that I'm grateful and I love him. Let's have a word of prayer. Gracious Father, you are amazing. What you did in the process of bringing your son, Jesus Christ, was incredible. That you loved us so much that you would send him to die for us. Lord, even if we know all of this and have believed, we need to be reminded and find great joy in our salvation and not find it as old or the same thing I've heard for years, but rather marvel that you would even care enough to do that for us. That you who created us would correct us moving into sin by sending your son, Jesus Christ. Lord, for those who don't know you, I pray that you'll help them to hear this message and to take this to their heart and decide that they need Jesus Christ as their Savior. So, Lord, as we sing and as we finish this service, work in people's hearts just to draw closer to you, to know you, and some perhaps to know you for the first time. And we'll praise you for that in your son's precious name. Amen. Turn your hymn books to the first song, number one. My faith has found a resting place. Let's sing the first and second verse of My Faith Has Found a Resting Place.
My faith has found a resting place, not in device nor creed. I trust the ever-living One, His wounds for me shall plead. I need no other argument, I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died, and that He died for me. Enough for me that Jesus saves. This ends my fear and doubt. A sinful soul, I come to Him. He'll never cast me out. I need no other argument. I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died, and that He died for me.
I got done quite early, so you have lots of time to fellowship before you leave. And feel free to do that. Enjoy the extra time together. Let's pray. Gracious Father, thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the truth that you give to us, that you loved us so much and paid the price for our sin. Thank you that as a result of that, we have the most unique relationship because we have a relationship with the Creator God. Help us to freely expound this to others, to tell them the message of Jesus. Help us to desire to know you better and get in your word and grow. Help us, Lord, to walk through your Spirit in a way that would bring glory and honor to you. Thank you, Lord, for this day, for your word, for the songs that we're able to sing. Might we glorify you with everything we do in Christ's name. Amen. You're dismissed. Thank you.